Hello, friends, and welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show that the Bible is relevant to your life every single day. The current series from the book of Nehemiah is called Uncomfortable. Let's hear what Kurt has to say.
Welcome back, my friends, to today's conversation again with Hannah. And glad to have Hannah back with us. And we have thoroughly enjoyed working our way through the book of Nehemiah and our privilege that you've joined us for the journey. Last episode, we covered, interesting, a few episodes ago, it took us like forever to get through chapter 6. And now we're in one episode, we covered 73 verses in chapter 7 because most of it was just the genealogies, or not the genealogies, but the list of people that were there in Jerusalem or around Jerusalem. And I think we left you last episode with the idea that the wall had been built. Nehemiah has now begun to assign positions. It's interesting because the positions he assigned initially, the singers, so worship was to be a priority, the porters, those that would watch the doors, security would be a priority, and then the Levites, the servants that would do the behind the scenes work. So think about those three things: security, singing or worship, and then serving. These were priorities in Nehemiah's establishment of the city now that the walls have been built. And then the fact that the population was so thin that they had to adjust, how often the gates were open, and they had to raise some money to build some more housing, to get more people centralized, and just all of those logistic things are going on. But I love chapter 8, Hannah, because we're entering into a section in the book of Nehemiah that, for some of you that are more biblically literate, it's going to sound familiar because some of the more famous verses from Nehemiah are found in this chapter. So here we are in chapter 8, and we're being introduced to another Bible character that no doubt many of you have heard about, who has a book of the Bible named after him as well. And that's in Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 1. So let's dive right into it. Here's what it says. And all the people gathered themselves together as one man, in other words, in unity, into the street that was before the water gate. Watergate. See, there's Watergate there in the Old Testament. and they spake unto Ezra, the scribe, to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. So here's the Bible character, Ezra. So Ezra and Nehemiah were contemporaries. These were men of God who knew each other. So who was Ezra?
A priest, a prophet.
Yep, a priest, a prophet. Sometimes he was called a teacher.
Like a scribe.
A scribe. So Ezra was also somebody who had lived in captivity, who had a heart for the people of God. But unlike Zerubbabel and Joshua, the high priest, who had come back in 536 BC in that initial return of the exiles, Ezra had only come back about 14 years before Nehemiah, and his purpose wasn't to come back and build a building per se, like the temple or the wall, but Ezra's purpose for coming back to Jerusalem was to rebuild the people. So as a man that loved God, as a man that loved the Word of God, he came back to a people that were really far from God.
So he was planting the seed per se, and Nehemiah helped water that seed when he came to rebuild the wall and help the people spiritually as well.
Right. I like that illustration, planting a seed, watering, but also in essence just paving the way for Nehemiah, because when Nehemiah came, the people had a mind to work. The people were ready to go. They saw the need. Just think about the cooperative effort of building a wall and all that we've talked about. You know, the fact that they left their homes in the villages, many of them. The fact that they're dealing with all the intimidation of the enemy. The fact that they are being threatened. Where did they get the faith? Where did they get the perspective that this is God's project and we must obey? From Ezra. Ezra had been faithfully teaching and preaching God's word for these years, so that when Nehemiah came and said, here's the project, here's what we need to do, here's where we need to go for the Lord, their heart had already been nurtured in that respect. And I guess what I would say is, you know, God uses different people at different seasons for different reasons. Sometimes in our local churches, you'll see maybe great numerical growth under one pastor, but maybe it was the previous pastor who didn't see maybe necessarily a big building project or a big building program, but boy, he faithfully laid the ground and preached the word of God and did the hard work of getting the word of God into people's lives, so that when these bigger, more ostentatious things are happening, they're really happening on the foundation of what that first person had done.
I like that. You know, no great thing happens without, you know, great sacrifice. You know, and like you said, oftentimes, I know I'll do it for myself. I look at other people's lives and where they're at spiritually and just in their life stage. They're so far ahead of me. But, you know, we have to remember, like you said, I mean, not everyone has the same timeline. And, you know, there is that foundation that exists to build that great faith and blessing. You know, no blessing comes without great faith in God.
And we see that in Ezra's ministry. And now that the project is done, Ezra is being reintroduced. And the Bible is so amazing for so many reasons. But the timing of the completion of the wall and what's about to happen in Nehemiah chapter 8 is just, it's awesome. Because consider what it says in verse 2, listener. So Ezra, the priest, brought the law before the congregation. So the law would be what we would call the first five books of the Bible. So Genesis through Deuteronomy. So Ezra, he brought the law before the congregation. Now watch who the congregation is. Men and women, and all that could hear with understanding. So even the children that were old enough to be able to understand language, understand the word of God, they were there as well. So children can be in church. That's a good application. And they can't understand. So somebody must have been watching the nursery, because there they are, the men and women, the people that could understand, upon the first day of the seventh month. Now, that might not mean anything to us as Americans who consider the seventh month would be July, so it'd be July 1st. But understand, this is not an American calendar. This is a Jewish calendar. And also understand that the first day of the seventh month was a very significant day in the Jewish calendar. It was Rosh Hashanah, which really is the new year. It's the new year. So the fact that Ezra is bringing the law of God on the new year, in the Bible, that's called the Feast of Trumpets. And I think that harkens back to the fact that there was a great trumpet sound the day of the giving of the law of Moses at Mount Sinai. So this harkens back to that first covenant. So on the new year day, that would signal the start of, wow, we need to be thinking about God. We need to be thinking about the Word of God. We need to be thinking about our walk with, our relationship with God. That's a good thing to think about at the beginning of a new year.
Right, establishing your priorities right away.
And not only your priorities, but just resetting your heart on what matters, because our hearts are prone to wander. And so here they are on the first day, and they've called for Ezra. Ezra's bringing the word of God. He's going to read the word of God to them. Now, here's something that maybe you didn't know, Hannah, and that is that Rosh Hashanah was the first day of the month. On the 10th day of the month is another Jewish holiday called Yom Kippur, or we would call it the Day of Atonement. The days between Rosh Hashanah, which is the first day of the month, and Yom Kippur, the 10th day, if you reckon those days inclusively, like first day counts as a day, the last day counts as a day, there are 10 days. Do you know what the Jews called those 10 days?
No.
They call them the 10 days of awe, to think about God, to think about the transcendence of God and the holiness of God, to get them ready. Why? Because Yom Kippur was the Day of Atonement, that day of confession, that day to say, God, we are unworthy, and were it not for the blood of the Lamb, we have no hope. In the Old Testament, as our covering, as New Testament believers, you know, the fact that Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. What a great image. You know, so Rosh Hashanah, then the 10 days of just holiness and thought and meditation, and then Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, and then the week later was a feast called the Feast of Tabernacles. And we're going to talk about all of that in this chapter. So this is a very rich chapter of Scripture. And we're really not doing well on time today, Hannah. So let me just cover verse 3, listeners, and we'll pick this up next episode. But the Bible says, "And he read therein before the street that was before the water gate from the morning until midday." So
that's
you're
a long time.
You're looking at me, Hannah, like, what?
I mean, like, sermons can be, we think sermons are long when they go over an hour, but or morning to midday.
Or any more. I mean, if somebody preaches over 30 minutes, it's like, when's this guy going to be done? And yet Ezra is simply reading the Bible, and people are standing, and not just, you know, people that are theologians, but men and women and children, just common folk that want to hear the word of God. There was a hunger for it. And maybe the hunger for it was the fact that they didn't have access like we have access. Sometimes familiarity breeds contempt. We've got it on our phone. We've got it on the podcast. We've got it on our coffee table. We've got it on the nightstand. We have it on our iPad, on our computer. It's everywhere. It's ubiquitous. And yet in the Bible, there was a preciousness, back in Bible times, I should say, there was a preciousness to the Word of God. People didn't have their own personal copy, and they longed to hear it. There was a respect for it. And that's why I just want to commend you listeners today for your attention to, your valuing of the Word of God, because there's value as we put the Word of God in its rightful place in our life. When we simply stop and listen to it and consider how it applies to our life, and we allow it to make a difference in the everyday decisions of our life. So Hannah, it's really, we're stopping at a place much earlier than you and I talked about stopping today. Hannah said to me at the beginning of this podcast, she said, "Are we going to get through verse 12? And I said,
"No, I think till verse 6.
Yeah, we'll get to verse 6. Well, we were both off because we got through verse 3. But I want you to tune in tomorrow. I want to talk about why the reading of God's word is important. And then I want to talk about the fact that just reading and hearing God's word is not enough. What did they do in addition to the reading of God's word that made a difference in the hearts and lives of people? And what difference did that make? So you'll have to join us next episode. Thanks again for being so faithful. Appreciate you being with us today. God bless you and have a great day.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If everyday truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.